Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai. Can someone bring a glass of water, please? There's a bottle right here. You can just find a cup. Light. No light. God said, let there be light. No connection with the source. Let there be no light. Let there be light. Let there be the light of love of God. And creation began. So please repeat after me. Okay. Anavatsara Jagannathera. Napana Darasana. Anavatsara Jagannathara. Napana Darasana. Virahe Alala Nata. Kairila Gammana. Anavatsara Jagannartha. Napana Dharasana. Virahe Alanata. Kairila Gammana. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is translation. When Jagannath was absent from the temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could not see him, felt separation and left Jagannath Puri to go to a place known Alalanath, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Alalanath is also known as Brahmagiri. This place is about 14 miles from Jagannath Puri and is also on the beach. There is a temple of Jagannath there. At the present moment, a police station and post office are situated there because so many people come to see the temple. The word Anavatsara is used when Sri Jagannath Ji cannot be seen in the temple. After the bathing ceremony, Snanyata, Lord Jagannath apparently becomes sick. He is therefore removed to his private apartment where no one can see him. Actually, during this period, renovations are made on the body of Jagannath Deity. This is called Navayovanam. During the Rathayatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath once again becomes before the public. Thus, for 15 days after the bathing ceremony, Lord Jagannath is not visible to any visitors. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this is a wonderful ceremony, and we took the opportunity to bathe the Lord. It says in one other place that this is his birthday. And I'll read something here. According to, if you want to know more and more about Jagannath, there's one Shastra that has a lot of information on Jagannath, and that is called the Skanda Purana. It speaks in detail about Lord Jagannath and about the glories of Jagannath Puri. So it says here, according to Skanda Purana, the Jaishtra Purnima, or the full month of the full moon day of the month of Jaisa, May, June, is the birthday of Jagannath. Jagannath is Krishna. But Krishna's birthday is Janmashtami, the eighth day of the dark moon of the month of Bhadra. Therefore, when it's said that the Jaisa Purnima is Jagannath's birthday, it is understood that on that day Krishna appeared in his form with big dilated eyes, a round face, and his hands and legs were shrunken. This is known as Mahabhava Prakash, the ecstatic manifestation of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. Krishna and Balaram are the sons of Vasudeva. Krishna's mother is Devaki, and Balaram, his elder brother, is the son of Rohini. Their sister Subhadra is the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki. So they are brothers and sister, and they appeared in their forms as Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra in Purushottam Kshetra. Because Jaisa Purnima is the birthday of Jagannath, on that day he takes public bath along with his brother and sister. This festival is also known as Snanyatra, and hundreds of pots of water are poured over them. Because of this, Jagannath's color fades, for 15 days he will not give darshan. This is known as Anavatsara. During this time, he will be painted with new colors, therefore he cannot give darshan. Shastras say that during these 15 days, his wooden form, carved out of neem wood, is repainted. Another name for Lord Jagannath is Daru Brahman. Daru means wood. So a thin piece of cloth is painted over the murti. The old cloth is removed during this period and repainted with a new cloth on which the new colors are painted. Then, one day prior to Rath Yatra, Jagannath gives darshan in his fresh color and young appearance, which is known as Navayovana Vesh. This is how it is described in the Skanda Purana. A song. As it's mentioned here, Jagannath is a particular form of the Lord known as Mahaprakash, Mahabhava Prakash. His eyes are big. His arms are moving into his body, and his legs have completely disappeared. So when someone asks Srila Prabhupada, Jagannath doesn't look like Krishna. Is he Krishna? Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna, Jagannath, Krishna, yes, yes. Prabhupada was quite astounded and a little surprised by the stupid question. But that's how he answered, because, of course, for a pure devotee, he sees Krishna in whatever form the Lord appears. But this is actually Krishna in Vrindavan. Jagannath is actually a manifestation of the ecstatic love for the Lord, for his devotee. This particular form exhibits his ecstasy of love for his devotee. Krishna had been away from Vrindavan for many, many years. And due to that time period, great separation between both Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan was becoming completely unbearable. At first, when Krishna went to Dwarka to take care of military business and also to reestablish a place where his devotees could be protected in the Dwarka Dham, the Lord performed his pastimes there with his queens. But after some time, the Lord was feeling more and more separation from Vrindavan. And gradually he would hear reports from his devotees about the situation in Vrindavan. He sent Uddhava there just to make the devotees, especially the gopis, feel pacified that, I haven't forgot you. I've been gone for so many years, but still my heart is full with your memory. Krishna, although he was there with his queens in Vrindavan, he couldn't feel the same happiness that it was in Vrindavan. It was never the same. The ecstasy of love reaches its pinnacle. At least we understand that statement as being the highest form of ecstatic love. And it's only manifested in Sri Vrindavan Dham, when Krishna is simply seen as the most attractive and beautiful boy of Vrindavan. He loses all his Aishwarya, all his opulences and all his Dhamurvan reverence. He becomes friends. He becomes the best friend, the best son, and the best lover. The mood of Vrindavan is so sweet that the acharyas glorify this as the highest form of devotion. So Krishna, wanting to return to Vrindavan, but at the same time, it's amazing because you see that in all of the Lord's pastimes, how he had a mission when he came to the world. Although his devotees were there, and the loving exchange between himself and his devotees, we see it in Ram Leela, we see it in Chaitanya Leela, we see it in Krishna Leela, how the Lord had a mission. And in Ram Leela, it was killing demons. In Krishna Leela, it was also killing demons. And in Gaur Leela, it was creating the mood of separation. And so, the Lord was most of the time of his appearance on the earth in each of these Leelas, separated from his devotees. And separation is called vipralamba bhav. It's the highest form of ecstasy one love can experience. When one loves someone, and the separation of between that person and the beloved who is separated from that person becomes so intense that the appearance of that person, although not physically present, manifests itself in that person's heart. It's hard to understand. When ecstasy, when separation reaches such a high level of intolerance, then the love really manifests itself in the form of that person one is feeling separation from in the heart, and then one cannot think of anything else. Therefore, love and separation is higher than love and meeting. Right? No. Everybody agree? It is, because when you meet, The happiness of meeting is the greatest at the time of meeting. Right? You even see that in material life. I travel in airports, right? And people, you know, greet each other, their friends, their relatives, and it's such a wonderful expression of happiness and love. But, you know, as time goes on, that same mood kind of falls away. And things go back to normal again. And so, but that's there in Krishna. But in Krishna is that the gopis, when Krishna's with the gopis, they're always in anxiety he's going to leave, so they can't really appreciate his presence. Or they can't take full advantage of his presence. You imagine if you love someone and you think they're going to leave. And so you're the happiness of the presence is mitigated or lessened by the idea that soon will be, the separation will come again. So Krishna was feeling that same separation from his residence of Vrindavan in the same intensity as they were feeling for him. And therefore when he was sleeping at night, trying to sleep, he would call out, Gopi, 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 Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And he would call the names of the gopis. And the queens were wondering, what is he doing? He's calling out the names of the gopis of Vrindavan. He's not with us. He's there. We're here with him, but he's not even with us. He's with them. So this went on for a while. And finally, the queens got together. There was 16,108 queens. And they decided, we're going to find out what is about the love of the gopis that is so wonderful that Krishna, although he's personally present here, cannot really be with us. Are you following this? It's not too deep. It's nice. It's sweet. We should learn these deeper, higher mellows of bhakti. And so we have to understand that Krishna's love is the combined love of everyone's love combined and more. If you could put all the love together of all living entities in one place and try to total it, that would be a drop of Krishna's love. Insignificant. So you can imagine the love that the Krishna has for his devotees. We can't imagine. We can just talk about how wonderful it is. So the queens wanted to find out more about the gopis in Vrindavan, their love. So there was one person that was staying in Dwarka who had been with Krishna in Vrindavan. That was Rohini, the mother of Balaram. So they all approached Rohini and they said, Rohini, please tell us, what was it like in Vrindavan with Krishna? She said, I can speak about that, but Krishna, if he's here, if he hears me speaking about that, he's going to leave immediately. You're going to lose him. But the queens were persistent. So they made a plan. We'll get Subhadra. Subhadra was there also. She can guard the door, and then Rohini will speak to the assembly of queens. And when Subhadra sees Krishna coming, she'll just warn us. Okay. So there was Rohini, and all the queens were listening very intently. What was the nature of Krishna, the love for the gopis for Krishna? They wanted to understand more. And so she's speaking. Now Subhadra is also listening, although she's guarding at the same time. She's doing two sevas at once. And she's hearing the loving pastimes of Krishna with the gopis in Vrindavan. Her mind is becoming ecstatic. Her eyes get big. Her arms curl into her body. Her legs disappear. She faints. She loses consciousness just hearing Rohini described the wonderful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Now nobody's guarding the door. And everyone's unaware of what happened to Subhadra because everyone is intently listening to Rohini. So finally, Krishna gets an idea. I think they're talking about me somewhere. Let me see. So he follows his intuition. Of course he knows everything. And he comes to the assembly and he sees the queens are there and his mother, Rohini, his second mother, is speaking. And then he starts to listen. He sees Subhadra there, but then he's not so much interested in what happened to Subhadra as he is to hear his own pastimes. Sometimes we say Krishna is really proud. He likes to hear about his glories. It's a problem, huh? If somebody chants your glory, you think, oh no, Trinada Pisanicha, no, I should be humble. I'm not so glorious. But Krishna likes it. What do you think? Is that a flaw in Krishna? Yeah? No? It is. It's the flaw of wanting to give the devotees the opportunity to love him. So the more we glorify him, the more it's for our benefit. He likes to hear his glories, not because he wants to be glorified, but because we need to glorify him. We might say, when a little child does something to please the parent, although the parent gives everything to the little child to facilitate that activity, the parent becomes overwhelmed with happiness because it's the little child who benefits, although the father or the mother arranges everything for the child to do it. So when Krishna is making all arrangements, and then if we take advantage of his arrangements and glorify him more and more, He's happy and we make spiritual progress like that. And become happy also. So Krishna is listening. He's listening and listening and his eyes get... I mean, those eyes can get, really big. You know, sometimes they're just, I don't want to speak about certain things, but anyway, sometimes they're just, they cover the whole atmosphere. And then his legs were disappeared and his arms went into his body and he fainted. Now Krishna's finished. Subhadra's there also. Balaram comes to find out what's going on. My mother's talking. Let's see what Ma's speaking about. So he's also listening. And she's talking about the glories of Krishna and Vrindavan. He also goes into ecstasy and faints. Now the three of them, they're there. And Mohini's just so absorbed in talking about Krishna and Vrindavan. Nobody, even the queens, nobody knows what happened. So these are the actual original transcendental forms of the Lord that manifested at a certain time. Now, spiritual technology is something happens, but yet it is eternal. Can you figure that out? Balaram expands from Krishna, but Balaram is always eternal. So manifestation is an aspect of eternality, but eternality exists in the absolute truth in all features. Does that make sense? In other words, everything's eternal, but as they manifest at a particular time or a particular situation, they become apparent to us, although they always exist within the absolute truth. So although Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra manifested these particular forms as the ecstatic manifestation of the love for the residents of Vrindavan, those forms are eternal. And Shiva Ram Maharaj gives a very long explanation of this philosophical principle of how manifestation and eternality more or less work together to produce the different leelas of the Lord. Because of our understanding of how things happen, we think in terms of time, right? Something happened and therefore it began at that time. So our minds are more or less in the principle of beginning and end, because that's the nature of the material energy. So we think in terms of our own experiences. But time doesn't exist in the spiritual world. There's a conception of time, which is there in order to facilitate the idea of lila. When lilas go from one activity to another, we hear about different aspects of those lilas within a certain time frame. Like Krishna gets up in the morning and then he performs this activity and he goes out and plays with his friends and his mother calls him for lunch and then he goes, takes a little rest after lunch and then he goes out to play again and then he sneaks away with the gopis. So these are different time periods within the transcendental realm of the spiritual existence. But at the same time, there's no time. So when scholars and academicians and various people try to understand the nature of transcendence, all they can do is speculate. They can't figure it out because it's a realm that reveals itself through bhakti. Krishna can only be understood through bhakti. Bhaktyamam avijananti yavan yasmi tatvataha. Krishna says, when you are full in bhakti, then you can understand me. Or the more you develop your bhakti, the more I reveal myself to you. Bhakti is the means for understanding Krishna. Bhakti is the means for finding complete satisfaction in everything we do. Gyan, knowledge, assists bhakti, but gyan by itself leaves one short of the goal. It's more like a light in a particular direction. Karma or activities are expressions of bhakti, but karma itself, when not connected with bhakti, is simply material. So, therefore, karma and gyan are decorations on bhakti, but bhakti is independent of karma and gyan. And when bhakti reaches the highest stage, karma and gyan completely fade from existence and there's no such thing. Therefore, that's why the highest principle of love is no knowledge. The gopis have no knowledge that Krishna is God. And even if somebody told them, they don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, I was talking about this, and one person who was a real philosophical person of the Shastras was bewildered. Because the highest form of love is devoid of knowledge. But knowledge gets you to the point where love starts to manifest. But as love manifests, knowledge falls away. And knowledge of service becomes the only form of knowledge. How to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. And that's the essence of bhakti. To make Krishna happy by whatever we do. When we chant, when we dance, when we take prasadam, when we associate with devotees, when we perform any of the activities of devotional service, our consciousness is an offering to Krishna. Or let me please Krishna by this offering. That is the mood of bhakti. And bhakti attracts Krishna so much that it says that the highest principle of existence is bhakti. Even Radharani, her bhakti is pure. It's perfect. No one can judge or understand or even begin to calculate Radharani's love. There's two things that nobody knows and nobody will ever know. It's not possible. It's impossible. Even the greatest personalities, even the highest form of spiritual realization can never know two things. The quality of Radharani's love and the quality of Krishna's existence. His transcendental qualities, her transcendental love. It's impossible. No one can describe it. They're unlimited and they're so deep that it falls short of any descriptions, even by the greatest spiritual philosophers. And they don't even try to touch it. So we're in such a situation that we've been given such a high level of spiritual attainment. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the entrance into that realm. When we take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the whole process of bhakti reveals itself more and more. That's why we are actually followers of Mahaprabhu. There are many persons who worship Radha and Krishna or worship Krishna who don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore they cannot go to the higher realms of devotion. Because only Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Noihi Onya. He is both Radha and Krishna in one place. And therefore he exhibits Radharani's love for Krishna, but he's Krishna himself. He's a mystery, but yet he's so available and so merciful. Therefore, we're sitting on this treasure house of devotion. And sometimes we're still looking for the treasure house of material life. Bleh. It's pale, dry, stale, rotten. Prabhupada was walking one day in Mexico and with his devotees. And then they passed this huge, gigantic garbage dumpster. You know, you throw the garbage and then the big trucks come and pick it up. Jai Sisi Panchatattva Ki Jai. So there was some writing on the outside of the garbage dumpster. And in Spanish. Mexican. So Prabhupada asked, what does that say? And one devotee said, it says, place your garbage here. Prabhupada said, yes. This is where the whole world belongs, right here. In the garbage dump. For a Mahabhagavata. He sees his whole world as, I mean, Because he's in divine consciousness, the world looks happy. But he knows that everything in this world is simply a reflection of the reality. It's not the reality itself. If someone says, here, eat this piece of candy in this mirror. The candy's over here. I'm giving you the mirror. So you just chew on this mirror. And you, I'm sure, because the candy's reflected in that mirror, it's going to be really sweet. What's going to happen? You're going to, you know, you're going to break your teeth on the mirror. So this is what happens when we try to enjoy material life. It's like trying to eat the reality in the form of the reflection. Someone comes up to you and says, I just cooked you a big feast. It's all written down on this paper. Here, just chew on the paper. And make sure you chew the whole place because here's where the pakora is and here. Don't miss any of the part. Oh, what a feast, right? So delicate, delicious. You even might want to have seconds, right? This is the material world. It's just simply a reflection of the reality. Prabhupada would say, if someone tells you they're happy in this world, tell them they're a fool. They're a liar. Because nobody can be happy in material life. It's just not possible. So therefore, this realm of spirituality is the reality of our existence. And it's manifested in the form of pure devotional service. So devotees are on the spiritual platform. One who's engaged in devotional service, Prabhupada said, you're liberated. Because bhakti includes liberation. So when you're engaged in bhakti, you're no longer part of this material energy. You can't be touched by the material energy. When we stop our bhakti and look towards material life again, then we sort of get the little bit of the effects of material existence. Not in the same way that the materialists do, but as a token reminder of the miseries of this place. And Krishna does that just to get you back to the reality like that. It's his mercy. So sometimes we might say, well, I have to maintain my family. I have to take care of my occupation. But there's an aspect of bhakti called gona bhakti. Gona bhakti is those things in relationship to pure devotional service. And when performed in the proper consciousness, they are as good as pure devotional service. So it's mentioned in the Gita and other places that if one offers whatever they do to Krishna in service, whether you're going to school, whether you're going to work, or whether you're maintaining your family, as an offering to Krishna, then that activity is spiritual. It's no longer material. But we get the taste and we get the happiness from the essence of Krishna consciousness, which is to glorify the Lord. So the Lord comes in all these forms of his existence just so we can glorify him. That's why he comes. Prabhupada said he has no business in this place. But he comes to perform his activities, to manifest his holy dham, to bring his pure devotees with him, performing his leelas here for the upliftment of the conditioned souls who are inclined to his service. Like that. It's a form of mercy. Out of all of the qualities of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the most wonderful quality is his mercy. He's all powerful. He's all fully full of strength, wealth, beauty, knowledge, fame, and renunciation. But although they're so attractive, especially when they're with Krishna, the most attractive feature that the devotees exhibit or experience is his mercy. And how does his mercy manifest? Prabhupada describes how Krishna manifests his mercy to us. Krishna is all powerful that he can do anything. He doesn't need anybody to do anything. When the Ishwar Parma Krishna, Satchidananda, Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarna Karnam, he's the cause of all causes, he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. aham sarvasya prapavo, matat sarvapravo. Everything comes from me. The wise know this, engage in my devotional service. I am the source of material image in spiritual worlds. Everything works under my direction. Not a blade of grass moves without my sanction. All my energies are working perfectly according to my will. This is Krishna. He's perfect. He's all-powerful. All-powerful means there's nothing outside. So what does he need us for? What does he need us for, right? When someone asks Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya was here and he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole land of India. Why didn't he just take it around the world and just make the whole world Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, yes, he could have did that, but he left it for me. He wanted to give me the opportunity. So this is what we're speaking of. This is the mercy. Krishna allows us to do things for him. He provides everything. He gives the intelligence. He gives the ability. He gives the facility. He gives the energy. He even gives the inspiration. He even gives the results. And you get the credit. You get the credit. And he says, well done. Thank you very much. You're such a nice devotee. Isn't that amazing? That's mercy. Prabhupada says, he appears in the dream to someone and says, my temple is in disarray, it's broken down, please repair my temple. And so the devotee gets the inspiration in the dream and makes all the arrangements, repairs the temple and becomes known as the person who repaired the Lord's temple. This is mentioned in Bhagavad. How the Lord manifests his mercy in the form of allowing us to serve him. So we think, well, why should I serve? Why shouldn't you? Service is the greatest benediction you can get. You can't get anything higher than that. The opportunity to serve. And we have so many opportunities to serve. And sometimes, of course, due to our way of thinking, we think this service is better than that service, is more desirable than that service. But service is service. Because whatever pleases the Supreme Lord, that's the perfection of our life. You know, we might think, well, I'd like to lead a kirtan, I'd like to give a class, I'd like to, you know, do something outstanding. But if you clean the temple really nice, and it's so nice, and people come in and say, what a clean temple. That's perfection. That's perfection. If you serve prasadam very nicely, thinking how to give the devotees such great happiness in the way I serve, that's perfection. Whatever you do, if it's done with devotion, and devotion means enthusiasm, then that's perfection. That's perfection. It doesn't really matter what we do. Of course, we have our likes, we have our preferences, and that's natural, and we're engaged like that many times. But the principle of service is seen by the Lord as absolute. And that story in the Ramayana, we know that story? Remember that story in the Ramayana? When they were trying to build the bridge across the Indian Ocean to Lanka, and they were, you know, throwing big boulders into the ocean to make the bridge, and one little squirrel, some people say squirrel, some people say spider, was kicking little grains of sand, trying to help the Lord with his service. And Hanuman is throwing these huge boulders. And so Hanuman was thinking, I'm going to step on this little squirrel, so I better push him out of the way. You just sit on the side and watch us, you know. But when Ram saw Hanuman kind of telling the spider that, you know, the squirrel not to do it, he stopped him. He said, Hanuman, he's doing as much as you are doing. He's working to his capacity. You're working to your capacity. That's perfect. That's perfect. If one is working to their ability, their capacity, that's the best, that's perfection. Because Krishna doesn't see so much the results. He sees how hard you try. That's all. That's all. And we may have more, we may have so many talents. But the perfection of devotional service is whatever Krishna gives you. Gives you some time. He gives you some facilities. He gives you some resources. He gives you intelligence. He gives you abilities. Use it for his service. That's all. That's perfection. And it's not how much you have, but what you have. It's how you use it in his service. So devotional service is so glorious that it attracts the Lord. The Lord, you can't attract Krishna by anything material. Sometimes devotees think, well, you know, I'll just... Should I tell you this story? You're not going to like it. This is the old days. So we were still new. So the ladies in the temple, they would get really nicely dressed up with all kinds of makeup and lipstick and, you know, whatever ladies do to look nice. And so they were thinking, if I look nice for the deity, this will be nice. So the idea was, Krishna's attracted to my body. I should look like a, you know, really nice. So then we thought, you know, I think this is a little bit too much. So that was rejected because Krishna is not, he's seeing you. He's not seeing your body. You're seeing, we see each other by way of bodily existence, but Krishna is not, he's seeing you. He's seeing the soul. He's not seeing your body. He's seeing you. And so, of course, we present ourselves in a nice but simple way before the deity, clean and neat. But we don't really think, well, I'm going to get really decorated nice and Krishna's going to be really attracted to me. And he's not going to look at anybody else but me. You just see what I do, right? No, it's not like that. He's going to see your heart and the condition of your consciousness. So that's Krishna. So that's the principle of bhakti, is Krishna wants to see, or Krishna does see your devotion, or your enthusiasm for service, which is an expression of your devotion. How enthusiastic we are to serve. So, Jagannath, he's Krishna, and he's manifested himself in that particular form just to exhibit his own transcendental pastime of love of God. And, of course, the Rath Yatra ceremony follows the Snan Yatra, and that is that now, after 2 weeks of Jagannath going into seclusion and getting a new body, Yanava Yovanam, he comes out in his new transcendental form and rides on his Rath cart. And what is the Rath ceremony is now? He's returning to Vrindavan. Jagannath temple represents Dwarka. Gundicha temple represents Vrindavan. On Grand Road in Jagannath Puri, it's a 2.3 kilometer distance between these two temples, and that's the Rath Yatra. So once a year in the month of Jaist, I think this year it's around July 17th, something like that. Yeah, am I right? Mm-hmm. And then the Lord performs his wonderful pastime. And his devotees are so happy to see him, they pull the cart. Pulling the cart in Rath Yatra is very significant. It means you want to bring the Lord, or you want to lead the Lord back to Vrindavan. But Vrindavan is synonymous with the heart. Heart is the place of love, and love really reaches its pinnacle in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So bringing Jagannath back to Vrindavan means bringing the Lord into your heart. And why, the day before Jagannath Rath Yatra is Gudicha Marjanam. Now, you know the pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the Lord performed this wonderful ceremony of cleansing the temple. He cleansed the temple of Gundicha, Marjanam temple. Marjanam means cleanse, with more than 100 devotees. And Lord Chaitanya, on his hands and knees, was getting water pots brought by his devotees, and he was washing the entire temple with his own cloth. And at the first part of, they were collecting as much sand and dust as they could and making big piles of it. And it said that one who had the biggest pile would get the most Jagannath Mahaprasad. But all the devotees together in their cleaning made so many piles, but Lord Chaitanya's pile was bigger than all their piles together. So he was the best in the cleaning. And this went on, and then they cleansed the whole temple. The walls, the ceilings, they were throwing water on the ceilings. And the waters were running down the walls. They were cleansing the walls, cleansing the ceilings. They went into the deity room. They went everywhere, cleansed the whole temple. And Lord Chaitanya, after it was all done, they cleansed the courtyard outside. The Lord said, let's do it again. And the devotees couldn't conceive it. It really needs it. They did it again. And Lord Chaitanya found more dirt. So the temple of Gundicha is synonymous with the heart. The process of bhakti is cleansing the heart so Krishna can come and sit on your heart. He likes clean places. So make a throne for Krishna in your heart, but clean the heart. Cleaning the heart means to remove all these finer dust particles. The very dirty stuff is illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. These are the crud, the gross garbage, that stuff that stinks. You know. This stuff you get rid of. You know, devotees don't have any problems with that, right? Okay. No comment. I'm not asking you to say anything either. But then the finer dust particles, which is Lord Chaitanya was trying to teach us, is profit, adoration, distinction. More subtle forms of recognition or material gain through the process of bhakti. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about these things. The desire to be worshipped. The desire to to think one is more advanced than someone else. If you think you're more advanced than someone else, you're not advanced. The more you become advanced, the more you think you're not advanced. This is a symptom of advancement. Make sense? No. But it's the truth. Because advancement comes by way of the soul's relationship with the Lord. And the more one becomes in connection with the Lord, the more one feels totally insignificant. And how is it possible that I have any devotion for the Lord? This is amazing. The more knowledge you have, the more you realize you don't know. The more devotion you have, the more you feel like you have none. That's why the great Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says, what is that song? Oh, Hare Krishna. That's not the song. What is that song? Anybody remember that song? No. I'm gonna get this one. Kali Yuga. He criticizes himself. I have no devotion. It's the name of this song too. Puyaya. Puyaya is part of the verse. Huh? Anybody know it? No? It's a song of just complete... it's not Gopinath. Gopinath is also there in that song, but... No. Paparati. He says that it's personal. Oh, I'm getting closer. Okay. Paparati. Paparati means I'm covered with sin. Hare Krishna. We'll get it. Paparati. Puyaya. He says, you know, Sarva Papa. What is the beginning? No, he mentions also that in another song. Ah, okay. Amara Jivana. Yeah, Amara Jivana. Thank you, Rin. He knows all the song. Amara Jivana, Sade Pape Rate, Sahiyo Puyere Lisa. Amara Jivan. Amara means my life. Sade Pape Rate means it is so sinful. My life is so sinful. Nahiyo Puyere Lisa. There's nothing good in me. He's saying it like that. Is he trying to get some glory just to be known as a great humble Vaishnava? No, he's feeling like that. He's feeling, this is my position. I am so low. I'm like a worm in a stool. Something like that. In another song he sings, when I see somebody happy, I feel unhappy. And when I see somebody unhappy, I feel happy. This is my condition. He mentions these faults of the conditioned soul. But he's feeling that this is me. So these are elements of advancement. The more one becomes advanced, when at the beginning of our devotional service we think, yeah, I almost got it. You know, if I just keep going for another year or two, I'll make it to PDS, pure devotion. And then, you know, then I can get a good position and, you know, I don't have to work. I don't have to clean the floor anymore. It was in our Krishna conscious movement, we had this called pure devotee syndrome. After 1 year, you made it. Almost, you know, you thought, well, maybe there's still something left, but that's neophyte consciousness. A devotee realizes how far away I am from reality due to my separation from Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited himself. One great devotee came up to Mahaprabhu and said, Mahaprabhu, you are such a wonderful devotee. You have such love for Krishna. You're the best of all devotees. You know what Mahaprabhu said? He said, if I had any love for Krishna, I wouldn't still be maintaining my body. He said, why am I eating? Why am I breathing? This is an indication I have no love for Krishna. Don't stop eating. But this is a symptom of pure love. One thinks, why am I still trying to make it in this material world? And we're getting an understanding of, you know, what is the level of pure devotional service. But on our level, so let's talk about our level. Our level is we practice devotional service to somehow or other get the mercy of the Lord by pleasing the Lord. And when we please the Lord gives us three things. We lose our attraction for Maya. We feel transcendental happiness, and we increase our attraction for Krishna. These three things automatically happen when you please Krishna by devotional service. Your love increases, your happiness increases, and your attraction for Maya reduces. Sometimes people come to me, Maharaj, I can't go to work anymore. I hate my job. I said, good, you're making advancement. It's true. The more you make advancement, the more you think, oh my God, So, but don't stop working unless Krishna tells you through your spiritual master. So these are just symptoms of bhakti. So we try to please the Lord. Prabhupada says, you can't really love the Lord. You love the Lord by hearing about the Lord. And this is how our love develops. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we hear about Jagannath, the Lord Chaitanya, and any of the manifestations of the Lord, Ram, either through kirtan or through pravachan, his qualities, his names, his forms, his activities, then naturally love will develop like that. So therefore we need to hear more and more. We need to hear more. We should make a diet for hearing. I was really inspired by this program this weekend. So much kirtan and so much nice association. It was such a wonderful atmosphere. And here we are. This is the fifth day. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 6 days. You got to complete the week, huh? Tomorrow. Back to normal. But Prabhupada said we should have a festival. He said, we can have a festival every day. He didn't say we should. He said we can have a festival. I mean, we have something to celebrate. And the glories of the Lord are so unlimited. Pastimes of the Lord are so unlimited. So Jagannath manifests himself in so many ways. And so in cleaning the heart, we prepare the heart for the presence of the Lord. So Ratha Yatra means bringing the Lord back into the heart. And Gudicha Marjanam precedes Ratha Yatra as the means for uprooting those more finer aspects of material attachments like that. And then the Lord will want to come and you can experience the Lord in your heart. He's there. He's there, but he's there in one sense, but in another sense he's not there because we can't experience it. When we experience it, then we know the heart has become a suitable place for his dwelling like that. Just like Krishna stealing butter. If you put butter in the refrigerator, it gets cold, right? And you try to spread it on your bread, what happens? Breaks the bread sometimes. But if the butter gets soft, and you can spread it on the bread, then it's nice, right? So that's why Krishna will steal your heart just like he steals butter. But if the butter's hard, he's not going to steal it. You've got to make the heart soft. The heart becomes soft by serving the devotees and by hearing about the Lord. So then Krishna wants to steal the butter of your heart. He likes butter. He's known as Makan Chow, the butter thief. So that's another analogy for the heart. It's like soft butter. So Krishna did a lot of butter stealing in Vrindavan. So these are the pastimes of the Lord. And then, of course, the Ratha Yatra, where the Lord returns to Sri Vrindavan Dham, and all the devotees rejoice his returning. In Jagannath Puri, they perform the ceremony of Ratha Yatra, and then he comes to the outskirts of the Gunjiti temple, and the Rath carts stop there. Baladev's carts first, Subhadra second, Jagannath follows. And that's the way it is in the Shastras. Because Balaram is the supreme manifestation of the Lord as the original spiritual master, and Subhadra is the internal Shakti of the Lord, the internal energy. So they precede the Lord in the appearance of the Lord. So first comes the material, first comes the spiritual master into our life, and then the spiritual energy in the form of devotional service, and then the Lord appears like that. So the Ratha Yatra is like that. And then when the Raths meet at Gundicha temple, they stop there. And the Lord doesn't go into the temple. He stays there for 24 hours on the outskirts of the temple, and in Puri, people take darshan for 24 hours, around the clock. All through the night, There's pujas going on, offerings, and people are coming up and getting the Lord's personal darshan in the form of embracing the Lord. The pandas in some case allow you to embrace the Lord, and they offer various types of boga, prasadam, that's been offered to the Lord. And then, in the evening of the next day, starting around 5 o'clock, there's a beautiful ceremony to bring the deities off the cart and into the Gundicha temple. And this is orchestrated by fire twirlers. They take these sticks, they put like these cottons on the end, they light them, and they twirl fire, and they're spinning them, throwing them around their back, and flipping up and down. I saw one girl, she was young, and she was rolling on the ground and spinning this thing at the same time. I asked her later, we found out she'd been doing that her whole life. That's her service to Jagannath. She's rolling this way and spinning this thing at the same time without dropping the spin at even. Amazing. And they have these fire twirlers. They have gongs playing. They all play together. It's like 100 gongs. And they're all playing at the same time, the same beat. And then there's kartal players, and there's no mridangas. There's some drums, but not mridangas. And then all this is going on, and then while this is going on, the deities are coming off the cart, and Balaram goes first. And they put this huge headdress on Balaram. This is his entrance into the temple headdress. It's huge. And then they carry him. Now, when they're carrying him, he's going like this. He's shaking. We asked the pandas, because some of our devotees have personal relationship with the pandas. We asked them, why are you shaking him like that? He said, we're not shaking him, we're trying to hold him still. He's so ecstatic with the idea of going into Vrindavan that he's exhibiting it in that form. So Balaram is like that, and they take him off the cart, and he's going like this. And finally Balaram comes in. Now Subraja, they just carry her in, because it says a lady shouldn't be ecstatic in public. So Subraja is kind of like really, she's very demure and very proper, and she just, okay. So, nice lady. But Jagannath, and then, after Subhadra gets carried in, they carry her in really easy. And then Jagannath has a big ceremony. All these big officials come on, and they offer puja to the deity, and they're offering boga, and it's going on for like hours, and all these bands are playing, and all these fire twirlers. We had the advantage, there was one house that had some devotees that we knew. We were on the roof of the house watching it, because if you're on the ground, you can't see anything. You can see something. So we were watching it from afar, from a good distance. It started at 5. And then around 8:30, Jagannath was about ready to get off his cart. And he put the headdress on him and the whole ceremony of bringing Jagannath into the temple. And he's just ecstatic. He's just rocking back and forth like that. And the pandas are having a hard time trying to hold him still. And it's a beautiful ceremony. And then about 9 o'clock, 9:30, maybe a little later, he enters into the temple. He stays there for a week, and then the return Rath Yatra. It's another ceremony. It's not attended by as many persons, as that the crowd diminishes to about half. There's only a 500,000, small number. The original Rath Yatra is 1 million is minimum. There's people everywhere, on the roofs, on the houses, wherever you look, it's a wall of people. So, and people come from everywhere just to take part in the Ratha ceremony. And the return Ratha Yatra is also beautiful, and the Lord performs many pastimes on the way back. There was and the devotion of the pilgrims are amazing. There was one lady she got the chance to, you know, put her hand on the ghee lamp of the one of the artis that was offered to the Lord. And then she was gone walking all around, looking. Finally, one of our devotees said, she was looking for one of her friends because she wanted to take that same thing that she got from her hand and give it to her friend. That's the bhakti in that place. It was amazing. Amazing. That same, the Rath Yatra we went to in 2001, Baladev's cart went off to the side and went up against a electrical pole and got stuck there. Now the cart has no wheels, and no steering wheel. You just pull it with these huge ropes, and the police are there to direct it. And so when they were directing it, Baladev's cart went off to the side and went up against an electrical pole. And there's 150 people on the cart, and they're not going to get off. And so they're trying to move the cart, and they can't push it back. And there's no, you know, there's no way. It's so heavy. The carts are huge. Jagannath cart weighs 40 tons. Baladev's cart weighs 60 tons. Subhadra's cart weighs 35 tons. I don't know if it's, a ton is 2,000 pounds. So how much is that in? 1,000 kilos. A little more than 1,000 kilos, isn't it? A little less than 1,000 kilos. That's the weight of the carts. So there it is, up against this electrical pole. So what did they do? They called the municipal people. They climbed the pole, took the electrical wires out, pulled the pole out of the ground, and then the cart got free. You try that in Rijeka, you might wind up in jail. I mean, any of these Western Rathayatras, they could never do that. And so the cart went again. So this time, you know, Baladev was going, and then he decided he wanted to go over to the left again. So he did. This time he went up against a person's shop. Because along the roads they have all these shops, and the people set up their little stands and they sell whatever they sell. And they're made out of wood, and corrugated steel, tin, and it's all put together like the day before. And so I went up against one's person's shop. So they just disassembled the person's shop. And the guy was in ecstasy. He was thinking, I get to offer my shop to Baladev. What a rare opportunity. He was so happy. This is the bhakti in Jagannath Puri during the Ratha Yatra. It's an amazing place. So the Lord performs his pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees, and the devotees simply want to glorify the Lord, and the Lord wants to please his devotees. So this is bhakti. The Lord is always thinking how to serve the Lord, and the Lord is always thinking, how can I benefit my devotee? Any questions? Jagannath Rath Yatra, Jagannath Shanisnanya. Yeah, okay.
We were talking about the service to the people in Bhakti Yoga. So does that mean that we should also serve other people who are not in Bhakti Yoga? Because outside of Bhakti Yoga, service can quickly become slavery. People are working hard every day. So is that also a service or...
It's not devotional service, no. It's material service. You get no credit for that. It's a duty. You have to do your material duty, but material duties end with this life, and whatever you gain from it, you also lose. Everything material is lost. Everything spiritual builds more and more until it reaches perfection, or reaches the principle of pure devotion. So we have obligations in this material world to serve our parents, maybe our friends, like that. But if it's done for material gain, there's no benefit. The only benefit you get is you have to maintain this body. But you might also say you can maintain the body in other ways too. If you come and surrender to Krishna, give your life to Krishna, He maintains your body for you. He facilitates all your needs. So, material service, the Shastras say, Shrama eva hi kevalam, useless waste of time. You know, when people start saying, we challenge people, are you this body or are you the soul? If you say you're the body, then everything you say is correct. If you're the body, then everything you say about material life is correct. And if you're not, everything I say about spiritual life is correct. So that's the question. So, material existence means to maintain the body. That's all. Keep it going. Feed it, clothe it, cleanse it, give it rest, have some, you know, family life, there might be some need there. But that's all. So maintenance is not happiness. Maintenance is necessary. That's all. Happiness comes with bhakti. Now, your material life becomes happy when you are engaged in devotional service. So your friends, your family members are your source of your happiness when everybody's engaged in devotional service. You love your husband, you love your kids because they're devotees. And you're a devotee. So that love is real because the center is Krishna. But when Krishna's not the center, then it's material. And it doesn't give fulfillment, nor does it give any success in life. So the same thing when applied to Krishna consciousness is, you take a thorn, and you get a thorn in your foot, you take out that thorn with another thorn. So we use the thorn of material life to stop material life. We change material activities into spiritual activities, and then all our activities are transcendental. I mean, Mahaprabhu had many persons who were grihasthas. Shivas Thakur had a huge family, and he maintained his family nicely. But his first principle was service to the Lord. So, but if we serve people for material gain, or people accept our service in order to gain from us materially, that's lost. There's no benefit in that. Any other questions? Quiet class. Oh, yes. Anybody want to challenge anything I say? I'd like to get challenged. Maharaj, you're just a fanatic. Get real. Come down to earth. Yes, okay. Yeah, that's a pastime. There was one pastime where one brahmana got slapped by Jagannath and Baladev. So, Pundarik Vidyaniti, he's a great personality. He's actually King Vishubhanu, come again in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So there's a time of the year called Odinasasti, where Jagannath gets new winter clothes. It happens usually at the beginning of December. It's called Odinasasti. So the pujaris were offering this new cloth to Jagannath, but they didn't wash it first, and it had starch in it. So Pundarik Vidyaniti criticized the pujaris. Why are you offering this cloth with starch in it to Jagannath? You should wash it first. And so they became a little bit concerned, and they listened to him. But Jagannath didn't like it. So So that night when Pundarik Vidyaniti went to sleep, Jagannath and Baladev appeared in his dream and started slapping him. And they were laughing and slapping at the same time. Baladev would slap him and laugh, and Jagannath would slap him, and they were both laughing. And Pundarik Vidyaniti wasn't laughing. He was getting slapped by the Lord in the dream. And then he woke up and his neck was all red from being slapped by the Lord. His cheeks were all red like that. So don't criticize Jagannath's pujaris. They know what they're doing, even though it may look like they're not following. That's what happened to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya. Who can speak about the glories of Ramanujacharya? One of the greatest saints. He went to Jagannath Puri. He was watching the Pandas worshipping Jagannath there, and they weren't following all the rules and regulations of worship, so he criticized. So one night he went to sleep, and the next morning he woke up in Kurukshetra, which is 1,000 miles away. Jagannath took him and threw him out of... Yeah, it's mentioned. He landed 1,000 miles away. Don't criticize my pujaris. Jagannath didn't appreciate that. So, yeah, sometimes we, you know, they have their own way of worship. Maybe it's not exactly the way we follow like that. Okay? That's you can read that in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Gopal Kumar, he went to Jagannath Puri, but he wasn't completely satisfied. So, you mentioned that Jagannath is in Vrindavan. So why wasn't he satisfied?
What does it say in that place, in that Shastra? What does it say? Does it say why he wasn't satisfied? Gopal Kumar wanted to meet the Lord in his swarup. His name is Surupa. That's his transcendental name in this, and he's a cowherd boy. So until he actually met the Lord in his form as a cowherd boy, and the Lord appeared to him in that form, he was feeling, even though it was the same Krishna, he wasn't manifesting himself in his eternal form as Krishna, the cowherd boy. So that was a really intricate aspect of his love, that he could only find satisfaction with reciprocating with Krishna in his sarupa as in Sakyaras, like that. Because he also went to the Vaikuntha and saw Narayan also. So yeah, it says that one reaches perfection when one worships the Lord according to their internal mood of love. Shasha, you're here today. You're well? Okay, recovering? Anyway, give your blessings to Shasha. He had an operation today?
Yeah, small one.
Well, it's amazing you're with us. This is really enthusiasm. Okay, hope you recover. Yes.
In the recommendation, we get one friend that you also discussed in this last time. So you come or someone else?
Which pastime is that?
In his dreams.
Yeah.
Then he didn't appear, I think, and then this time he was Swarupananda or someone else, you know, really close friends, and he asked why he doesn't show, and he said that he's ashamed that he disclosed to him. This pastime of his work was also an excellent. He started to glorify him and this.
I don't think I remember that. Does anybody recall that? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Oh, he was waiting for Pundarik Vidyaniti to come out. But he didn't come out because he had that dream with... Oh, okay, that was the follow-up of the pen. Yeah. There's a story in... if you go to Mayapur, there's a place called Simantadweep. It's also the place where Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, they reside in these beautiful deities that were given to us. They were given to Jayapataka Maharaj, and he arranged for their worship back in 1978, 79. And these deities are really amazing. So there's one story where two boys, the temple was just a really, just like a little, not even enclosure, it was just a little like room with a roof and all open, there was no curtain. So two boys walking along, one is a Hindu and the other one's a Muslim, they're friends. So the Hindu passes, he said, "Oh, I'm going to go in and see Lord Jagannath. You want to come?" He says, no, I don't go in and see idols. So he goes in and he gets some Mahaprasadam from Jagannath, and he comes back and he offers it to his friend. And his friend says, no, I don't eat food offered to idols. You know, that's how the Muslims see it. They don't believe in deities. So that night, that Muslim boy went to sleep, and Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra appeared to him in a dream, and Baladev was strangling him. "You don't want the food of my brother! You should die!" And Jagannath was laughing, and Subhadra was saying, "Kill him! Kill him!" And he woke up, and his neck was all red. The next morning he went to the temple, and he was kind of humble. He came into the temple, and he was looking at the pujari. He said, "What's wrong with you?" And then he showed him his neck. He said, "You know that white one there, he was strangling me. And his black one was laughing, and his yellow one was saying, 'Kill him.' So do you have any of that food?" "Please give me some." Yeah, Pankajungri Prabhu tells this story. I'm sure you heard this story before. And these are one of many stories. This is how personal Jagannath is. He's very, very personal. Out of all the deities that we worship, Jagannath is so personal. Devotees who worship Jagannath regularly can tell you so many stories about their worship. You know, they have intimate relationships with Jagannath. I was worshiping my own Jagannath deity for a long time. And then I couldn't carry them anymore, so I gave them to a disciple. And they were taking care of him in their house in London. And Jagannath would always fall over. the wife would put him up, and then he would just fall over. Because he wasn't getting enough attention, that's why. He just wanted attention. We found out later he wasn't getting enough attention. So now she gives him more attention, he doesn't fall over so much. So he'll do that, he'll try to get your attention by doing something like that. There's so many beautiful stories of Srimantadweep. I'll tell you one more, because I think, yeah, I can see that I'm getting the cane. Yeah. One more pastime? Yeah, it's okay. All right. So the deities were open. So one boy, from the village, this is the same deities in Srimantadweep. He comes and he sees, and they're dressed. So he sees, and Subhadra's got this beautiful nose ring. It looks like some valuable jewel. So he goes up to steal it. He starts crying. Baladev smashed him. And he's crying. He cries so loud that the pujari came out and said, "What happened?" He said, "The white one hit me." Baladev slapped him because he tried to steal Subhadra's nose ring. Yeah, another story, one devotee was dressing Jagannath same Jagannath. So you put one necklace on, put another one on, put a third one on. He was about to put another one on. He put it on and it fell. Picked it up, went to put it on again and it fell. He went to put it on the third time and he heard a voice, "Don't you understand? I don't want that." So, the very personal deities, please go take darshan when you get a chance. Now the worship is very organized and the temple is more developed. But in the old days there were so much wonderful pastimes for the Lord. Okay. And he says, "No, I can't take the question. I have to listen to my authority." Distribute? Is there enough for everyone?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from the bathing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. The Brahmins advise the Kshatriyas, but the Kshatriyas make the final decision. So I have to listen to the authorities here. Okay, so these are different colors. Two or three different colors. Blue, yellow, and black, if you have that vision. I have to see with transcendental eyes. So we'll distribute these. I'm not exactly sure how to do this. But if you can give me... Is there an advisory council here? You can tell me how to do this. Okay, so what we'll do is everyone can come and I'll give you one, and then if there's more left over, you can come around again. Is that good? All right. Thank you very much. Sanyatra ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Panchatattva ki jai.